Well, I'm figuring that most of you out there are familiar with the music of Scott Miller, but if not, I'm sure glad to spread the word about him, as he's a favorite of mine. Scott is from the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, not too far from West Virginia. He's a graduate of William & Mary and lived for many years in Knoxville, where he helped to foster a great music scene that really flourished during his time there. He was the lead singer in the band The V-Roys from 1994 until 1999. And as I said earlier, they were produced by Steve Earle. He is a very fine writer and, even more important, a very fine human being. And we're awful glad to have him on the phone with us today. Thanks for being with us today, Scott.
Oh, hey, Silas. Those are very kind words. I appreciate that.
Well, we...
you got to do it, I know.
Well, I would say it even if you weren't listening to me.
Okay, thanks.
Well, first of all, you're from Virginia, but you became so associated with Knoxville during your time, your early time, especially as a musician. But now you're back up there in Virginia, working on your family's farm. Has that changed your music, or if it has, how has it changed your music and your writing?
Well, I don't know that it has yet, other than I'm not as prolific because I've got things to do during the day now. You know, where before, when I was in Knoxville, it was touring, and then I'd be home and recuperate or write. And you know, repeat and rinse. But now, because I grew up here, we're in Augusta County, which is the largest county in Virginia, also has the largest cow-to-people ratio of any county east of the Mississippi. So it's a big county, but it's just full of cows, and that's pretty much what everybody does here is raises beef and dairy. And that's what I grew up doing, we raised beef cattle. So 2 years ago, my dad turned, 83, he's 85 now, and just couldn't do it anymore, and I had the idea that I could do what I do from anywhere, conceivably. So we packed up, and of course, my wife is from West Virginia, so we were closer to her folks, too, so the move made sense all the way around. So anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this, other than we moved up here, and I'm on the farm every day, and I'm not touring as much, and I'm also not writing as much, but... you know, we'll see. I've only been up here 2 years, so that's not a real long time to tell whether it's affected your writing or not.
Well, I don't think it has, because I think your new album, which is called Big, Big World, is one of your best. And didn't you write most of that during this time that you've been back there on the cattle farm?
I did. There were a couple that I wrote before, and you can tell they're real wordy. And been up here, life's a little slower. And yeah, I made that record with a guy named Doug Lancio, who's a producer and a guitar player in Nashville, known for like the early Patty Griffin records. And he's done Todd Snyder, he's done a bunch of folks. And basically, he had a studio and he had music and tunes that he really didn't know what to do with. And I have a bunch of notes and lyrics that I didn't know what to do with musically. So we sort of put them together. And so I was writing this thing really on the fly, where I would be I would fly down there, no pun intended, and he would play these tracks, and then I would listen to those things, and I'd go in another room and sit there with my typewriter, which is what I write with, and because my handwriting is atrocious, and knock these things out. So I'm glad you think it's good writing. That's high praise. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it sure is. We played a couple of songs earlier from it, so the listeners out there are familiar with Freight Train Love, Stonewall Heart, which is maybe my favorite on there. I also love the song you do with the Black Lilies on there, Going Home.
Going Home, yeah.
That's a really fine one. Speaking of writing on a typewriter, one thing I really love about you is your love for typewriters. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, man. It's sort of... It started in World War One at the end of World War One, when all these gun companies weren't making guns anymore, and so they started making typewriters, Remington and Smith and all these things, and I just love the mechanisms. But it really was, I was a kid. Now, my grandfather was from Kentucky, a little town called Cornishville, Kentucky, and his father was a small town doctor there in Mercer County. And he had this typewriter that he used to type out his prescriptions for bottles and stuff. And my grandfather had that in his basement. And so I was maybe not 10 years old, and I discovered this thing when I was rooting around in the basement. And he was like, well, you can take that home and just, you know, one, having something of your great-grandfather's, I'm looking at it right now, 1898 Underwood, wow, is awesome. But I just something about them appeals to me. The, you know, the sound and the mechanisms and the when you make a decision, when you write something, it's like it's there, you know. There's no eraser on them.
And that segues me right into something else I want to talk about. You have such a literary quality to your writing. Not only, I always think of your songs as like these perfect little short stories, but you even have allusions to writers and literature in your work. One of my favorite songs of yours is Thirsty Fingers, which was written as a sort of tribute or homage to the late writer Larry Brown. Were you always a reader?
Yeah, man. You know, even before I picked up a guitar, I painted, but reading, my parents are big readers, and growing up in the middle of nowhere in Swope, where this is back in the days of really only, there were three channels, and we only got one of them. So there wasn't much else to do, you know, but pore over all these books that my folks would have. And that ranged from everything to history to, you know, cheap novels. And you know, well, one for Larry Brown, but that's a good place to mine images and things is novels and stories and stuff. And I like to let that stuff percolate in my head, you know.
Right. Well, speaking of history, that's something that shows up in your songs a lot, too. I mean, I'm thinking of songs like Dear Sarah and The Only Road. You know, those are two that come to mind where you specifically talk about war, Civil War, and things like that. So, I mean, do you set out to write a song that has a historical background, or how does that happen?
Well, I think you mentioned like stories. I like story songs. Those are some of my favorite things. And it doesn't have to be overt. I mean, you know, there's a Tom T. Hall song, That's How I Got to Memphis. There's this huge story there, but you know what I mean? You sort of piece it together. So that doesn't mean songs have to be that way at all. But I personally like songs that go from like a point A to a point B and take you somewhere. And so using history is an easy train track there to run on, you know, because you've got the story there. Now all you got to do is figure out how to put some emotion and whatever change there is, or growth or regression, in that story, and make it, you know, mean something to somebody, or to me, make it mean something to me.
Yeah. You hit on the two essential things of writing there, which I try to pound into my students' brains: emotion and change. That's what you got to have a good piece of writing. Well, you mentioned Tom T. Hall, and I know that you love John Prine. Who else would you consider essential songwriters for any songwriter to study?
Well, of course, Hank Williams, but Roger Miller is my guy. For as far as story songs and his use of humor and heartache in the same song, which is a hard thing to do. Roger Miller, Tom T. Hall, I love Neil Young. Now, those aren't really story songs, but his point of view when he writes a song is like so, I wouldn't say naive, but just the way that he sees things is just awesome. You know, and you got to study Dylan, and I even go back, because look, you know, my dad is World War II generation. I mean, if you listen to Cole Porter and songwriters like that, are amazing writers too, Gershwin and those guys.
Oh yeah, we're talking to Scott Miller, singer songwriter extraordinaire, here on Hillbilly Solid. I'm your host, Silas House. This is WUKY 91.3. We sure do thank you for joining us. Anybody who's a fan of yours especially loves your live show. It's a I don't know, it takes your music in new places to see you do them live. And you have such a interaction with the audience. You know, you almost could have had a side career as a stand-up comedian. What do you hope to bring to your live shows when you're out there on the road?
Well, the main thing is, like, and when you're at, I call myself, and this is being generous, a top-of-the-middle artist. That is, like, I don't sell a ton of records, but I don't sell a paltry amount of records. But I sell the amount of records where I have to go out and work night after night. And if I'm playing these songs night after night, there's no way that anybody's going to enjoy those if I'm up there phoning it in and not enjoying it myself, right? So it's sort of more of a self-serving thing, is like finding something interesting or whatever, timely, to get the song across. That helps me. And I think overall it makes for a better show. I mean, who wants to see some guy out there gaze at his shoes and, you know, go through his songs? I've seen shows like that. I want my money back.
Well, yeah, that never happens at yours. Everybody's thoroughly entertained. Well, Scott, before the show, I asked you for some recommendations. So on the show today, I've played the Black Lilies, Otis Redding, John Prine at your request. Let's start with the Otis Redding song. What is it about that one that speaks to you?
Well, again, you know, when you asked me about those songs and I listed those and I was like, God, those are all heartache songs. But then when I was out on the farm today, I was thinking about those songs and I'm like, again, they're all sort of covert stories in there, you know? And that's what I like about them. That's what I like about a lot of Otis Redding is that way. But, I mean, of course, that guy sang. His delivery is like, that's it. You know, I love Stax Records and all the stuff that they did down there, but that band, you know, Steve Cropper and Donald Duck Dunn and all those guys, you know, apparently when they knew Otis was coming in the studio, they, like, got on their tiptoes and were on their game because they knew it was going to be something special this guy was going to bring.
I'd say. Well, out of all the great John Prine songs, why'd you focus in on Far From Me, which I love too, but I'm just curious why you picked that one.
One line in particular. I mean, he's got so many lines that I think are just awesome, you know, like in Souvenirs, Broken Hearts and Dirty Windows, Make Life Difficult to See. That, lines like that, and this song has that line, well, you know, she still laughs with me, but she waits just a second too long.
Yes.
And that is like, I mean, I just got chicken skin just saying it right there. That's just awesome. That's awesome.
What are you working on right now?
Well, this record's still new, even though it came out in October. So I took a lot of January and February off just because of the farm. I got to be here to feed the cows and whatnot. So I'm picking the touring back up this spring. And as far as, like, my next project, I'm sort of really thinking of scaling back. I've got going to sort of set up a studio down here in my basement and try to do something a little more just me, but a little more sound experiment kind of stuff. And the writing, you know, will hopefully it'll still always come. I still keep notebooks and do all the stuff that you got to do, right?
Right. You're the Wendell Berry of the music world, you know. Wendell Berry's up there writing poems and farming, and you're writing songs and farming. So that's not a bad thing to be doing, for sure.
No, I needed to get outside and get some fresh air, so it's all good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can't encourage everyone out there listening enough to not only go buy all of Scott Miller's records, but especially the latest one, Big, Big World, but also go out to your live shows. Thanks so much for being with us today, buddy.
Oh, man, my pleasure. And I love you, miss you, and hope I see you sometime soon.
Me too. Me too.